Let's pray and then begin. Father in heaven, we ask that you would deal tenderly with us, compassionately. We thank you for your mercy, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that your love for us didn't stop at just saving us and forgiving us. Your love continues as you form Christ in us and cause us to grow up into our head, which is Christ. Lord, we will confess beforehand that we have not loved you with all of our hearts this week, and we have not put you first. And we can look at patterns in our lives that are entrenched in years of practice that is indicative of spiritual laziness. And we would pray today that you would make us aware of those areas where you're putting your finger in our lives, that we can repent and turn and change for your glory and for our good. Use these proverbs to strengthen our faith today and cause us to grow in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message is The Necessity of Consistency. The Necessity of Consistency. And we'll get to the verses we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But let's read 23 through the end of the chapter. These also are sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, "You are innocent," people will curse him and nations will denounce him. But it will not go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessings... I'm sorry, I better make it. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessings will come upon them. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, "I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did." Now verses 30 through 34 is what we're going to concentrate on today. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. So we could say, well, this proverb obviously is about taking care of your stuff. Don't let your grass get too deep, and don't let the weeds grow. I think that's a good lesson to learn. Let's go home. Right? But we know Proverbs is not about this. The picture of the thorns and the weeds and the broken walls will preach. And it preaches a very valuable and deep message for us. Now, Solomon heard the message loud and clear. He saw it. As Spurgeon used to say, there's a message being preached in everything if we'll just look. And Solomon heard the message loud and clear. But what do we hear? What do we learn from these verses in Proverbs that are so vivid in their pictures and so pointed in their meaning and the application? These verses still preach in 2018. The message starts with a vivid picture. He walks by, makes an observation. You and I could have made the same observation, but he learns from it. There's something about it. He sees a garden in ruin, and he draws some conclusions. He sees vivid descriptions of, he sees vivid portrayals of neglect and a lack of discipline. He characterizes this as a sluggard's garden. He sees so much in this. Gardens are to be beautiful, are they not? I keep thinking about like Irwin Gardens downtown. They are kept beautifully. If I walked in there, you walked in there, and we saw leaves or weeds growing up all over the place, we would think, what happened to this garden? It used to be great. And there's something powerful in this portrayal of the garden. Now, Proverbs, we know Proverbs is not about everything to do with good gardens, getting along in your political life or your work life. It has to do with growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so we have to go there when we come to the Proverbs. We know this is going to speak something deep into our hearts. This garden that Solomon saw preached a message, and it showed the negative part of it. There was a lack of consistency. But what it can preach to us is the necessity of consistency. The necessity of constant attention, constant diligence, constant discipline. If you're going to keep something beautiful, you have to work with it, work for it, work at it. But this proverb's not about gardens. It's about the heart, your heart. It's about wisdom, your wisdom. It's about fear of the Lord, your fear of the Lord. It's about you. It's about your life, the quality of it, the consistency of it. It's about relating to God in a God-pleasing way. It's about honoring God with your life. It's about how to think right. It's about how to talk right. It's about how to act right. How to be a Christ follower. How to live. So this garden preaches, and it preaches a great spiritual lesson. And our lives are much like this garden that Solomon pictures. It requires consistency, daily carrying out the duties, the responsibilities of those that love God, of what you should do, a constant attention, constant diligence, constant discipline. It's a life of constant vigilance to guard your heart. That's what this proverb's all about. I think Proverbs chapter 4:23 frames a lot of the Proverbs. This could be one as well. Proverbs 4:23, shining like a beacon, says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I think with that command, guard your heart, above all else, above everything else you would do with your life, guard your heart. And we see in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34, what happens if you don't guard your heart, if you're not vigilant, if you're not diligent, if you don't give constant attention and constant diligence and constant discipline, what you can become. If you and I are not constantly guarding, and you know in your own heart, you can say probably with me right now, I know I don't constantly, vigilantly guard my heart. But if you're not consistently guarding your hearts by giving constant attention to what you're thinking, like the old saying was, you know, the preacher told me one time, Bill Holton, he said, Jim, he said, you can't stop the birds from flying around your head, but you sure can keep them from building a nest. That is so true. It's so simple, but true. Giving constant attention to your thinking is very important. If you're not doing that, you're not consistently guarding your heart. You have to give constant diligence to watching how you're behaving, watching your practices, governing your practices. When your body says, do this, and you put the rein on and you say, no, I'm going to govern that response to this situation, you're keeping yourself with diligence. But to not do so is very dangerous. If you're not constantly disciplining yourself, that is, making changes to correct what is wrong, you're not guarding your heart. So guarding your heart entails constant attention to your thinking, constant diligence in governing your behavior, and constant discipline to change what's wrong and make it right. Our lives will quickly become like this garden, marked with critical failures. And I think that when you look at this garden, you can see critical failure all over it. Thorns, weeds, a broken wall. And so it's the thorns and weeds, why are they so dangerous? They choke out spiritual zeal and vibrancy. The second critical failure we're going to look at is the walls of moral integrity and honor slowly crumble. Old age can be a great blessing, but old age brings with it plenty of threats. There can become an apathy that comes along with it. Youth is, you're particularly vulnerable to crumbling and losing moral integrity, because there comes a point in your life where you're actually put to the test of the things that you grew up believing. The question is, what's going to be the condition of your wall? You are at risk. All of us are at risk for critical failures to choke out spiritual zeal and vibrancy, and also then to have the moral integrity, the walls of moral integrity, slowly crumble. Well, let's look at these two. Let's look at the thorns and weeds first. They choke out spiritual vibrancy. The first sign of critical loss is a weakening of love for God. Oh, I'll pray tomorrow. Little things, just little areas of neglect. I don't feel like praying right now. I'm too mad. I'm full of lust. I just don't want to. I'm this, I'm that. I'm aggravated. I'm discontent. The first sign that you have thorns beginning to sprout and weeds beginning to grow is a putting off of love for God, a lack of concern for what pleases Him. You ever said in your own heart, I'm going to do this because I just want to. I don't care what anybody says. That is a sign that there are weeds and thorns that are beginning to take root, or at least to spring up. The second sign that weeds and thorns are posing a threat to you is diminished desire to pray and meditate on His Word. The third sign is laxity in maintaining your moral integrity. And what's the difference? What difference does it make today? Are you just sad? I just don't feel like it. I'm mad. Usually it's just we're throwing a fit, and I want my way. That's a laxity in maintaining your moral integrity. The fourth sign is your close relationships begin to suffer. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your family, your friends, your church family begins to fail. These are signs of critical loss. First, your relationship with God and your love for Him. Second, your desire to meditate on His Word and hear what God has to say to you, to pray about that. The third is you simply stop caring what you do. You throw a hissy. You don't care who sees it. Those type of things. It's that attitude. And the fourth, just think of when you begin to let your family, your spouse, your love for your spouse, your love for your children, doing what's the best thing all the time. These things are four indicators of critical failure on the brink. It's a mark of a thorny and weed-choked heart, or at least the beginnings of it. The problem that we have when we begin letting thorns and weeds grow, the cause is loving yourself too much. We love ourselves too much too often, and we care too little for God, and we care too little for others. These are the beginning stages. This is when, you know, if you want to boil it down to that, you begin loving yourself. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. And you can have those conversations in your mind often, and that's a part of the critical failure that marks a thorny and weed-choked heart. You may not be there right now, but you may see some of the first sprigs of thorns and weeds growing. The second critical failure is the crumbling and failure of the wall of moral integrity. When he walks by and he sees the stone wall was in ruins. That stone wall didn't fall all at once, is what I'm gathering. It slowly eroded. It slowly crumbled. Failure of to keep the wall of moral integrity strong, of honor and holiness. The cracks in your wall of moral integrity don't fall at once. I just said that. I hate repeating myself. That slowly degrades. It's a little compromise here and a little compromise there. I have this value, I have this belief, I have this core value, core belief, and I'll compromise it today. Just a little bit. A little here and a little there. Sound doctrine is ignored. I know what the Bible says, but these are all signs. If you want concrete evidence of a crumbling wall of integrity, I think these are some of those signs. You begin ignoring simple words of truth. I don't care about my neighbor, you'd say. They make me so mad. And you hear the word of God in your mind. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Ignoring sound doctrine is a picture of a crumbling wall. When doctrine is ignored, your protection is gone. Your wall is compromised. A little sin here, and listen to this, especially you who are younger, especially if you are still at home, and in many respects your convictions have yet to be tested to the full. That's where you find your wall. Is it strong? Is it weak? But learn this. Little sins erode convictions slowly. Little sins. Little permissions you give yourself to indulge and take it from an older person and one who has not always stood firm on his convictions and has lived in many respects a compromise so many times. Little sins erode convictions, leading to bigger sins, which leads to collapse. You can't say, God is forgiving, I know He'll forgive me. You can say that because you know it's true, but you don't say, I'll give in today because I know God will forgive me. If that's your thinking and you know you can be forgiven, this is true, but you have to also know this. It is the first indicator of a crumbling wall. A wall lacking integrity. Your protection is weakened. And it can lead to a greater collapse down the road. And when the habit of inconsistency is not immediately checked, the fruit of righteousness diminishes quickly. You have to think about that. You have to stop. And it's hard because pride, number one, pride is one of our biggest enemies. Pride doesn't want to admit that I'm being inconsistent. Pride doesn't want to admit that I'm entertaining thoughts that may seem little, but soon become big. When the habit of inconsistency in your life is not challenged, the fruit of righteousness diminishes quickly. Children, you got to know this. Part of your parents' job is to confront you, to be an earthly voice of God in your life. Now, sadly for us as adults, we build up walls that won't allow people to speak into our lives and challenge us. We oftentimes will build our own wall that keeps friends out from challenging. Don't build those walls. How do we build them? I can tell you how I've done it. Somebody confronts me with something and I get hurt feelings. That's a wall. I want to tell you, be still, I don't want to hear it. And usually a person's like, ooh, I didn't mean to upset you. You may get upset when you're being lovingly challenged for not being habitually consistent because the fruit of righteousness will diminish. A lack of attention to thinking biblically, a lack of diligence in governing your practices, a lack of discipline in changing and correcting what's wrong will lead to a tragic and rude awakening. Spiritual poverty will come on you like a bandit. Spiritual scarcity like an armed robber. Do you wake up right now? Do you wake up from time to time or maybe every morning and go to bed at night with despair staring you in the face? I hope not. But if you have compromised here and compromised there, then it's likely that you have a heavy weight of conviction sitting upon you. Well, Solomon thought about all these things that he saw, and he learned something, and he could at least agree with me and say, where there's a lack of consistency in maintaining spiritual zeal and spiritual health, little things become big things. Even for older people. If you look in the Bible and you see the lives of these kings, they were oftentimes strong and zealous when they're young, and as they got older, they became lazy. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and spiritual poverty and scarcity follows. And it follows hard and heavy on your heels and can overtake you. It will empty you of zeal. It will drive you down. And if you don't attack the thorns and weeds now, today, the thorns and weeds of sluggardliness. I had a friend, he called me one day. It was from the Lord. I was feeling listless. Do you remember when he called? I was just like, I just don't even feel like doing anything. And I'm not exaggerating. I hit these lows sometimes that I despair. And I hear James Ford on the other end, "Wake up, old sluggard!" The best words I think I heard. It was an immediate turnaround. He called it what it was, and he didn't even know I was feeling that way. But if you don't attack the thorns and weeds of laziness, you will be overwhelmed and ruined. You will. If you compromise a little here and a little there, it may seem inconsequential today. What happened to your relationship with God? How is it with you? Do you feel frail and lacking in your knowledge of God? You're knowing Him, you're walking with Him, you hear people talk about how great God is, but you're thinking, it hadn't felt great to me for a long time. How is it with you? Are you lacking in your spiritual zeal and your vitality? If you're young, you say, I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. If you're thinking that, you are lacking in spiritual zeal and vitality, and you should not settle for it. You shouldn't settle for it for 1 minute. If you claim to be born again, you can live, truly live, an abundant life now on this earth and having hope of the life to come. I didn't say you'd have the best life. I didn't say you'd have the most wonderful existence anyone's ever had. I'm saying it will be abundant, rich, and full. What happened to your spiritual richness? What happened to your spiritual sturdiness that you once enjoyed? Solomon walked by a garden and he probably wondered the same things. It looks like it was a magnificent garden. It looked like it was at one time beautiful and lush and full, but look at it now. What happened to its richness? What happened to its sturdiness? Maybe that describes you right now. And you may say, well, my whole life's not that way, just this one little area. I paint houses and I see a lot of problems in houses from time to time, and I'll say, how long did you have that leak up in your ceiling, dripping from your roof to your ceiling? Oh, that's been there for years. You know, it's just a little thing compared to the rest of the house, but it's a big thing. There's a lot of problems that come from that spread farther than just that one little spot. You have a pipe that leaks. It's just one little drip that's dripped for 25 years. It's big. Big. You think of a drafty window. But just as one window, well, it's cost you thousands of dollars over the years. Just have this one little area of weakness, but I allow myself that. That's the little room that I keep for myself. What happened to your spiritual richness? What happened to your spiritual sturdiness? If you've neglected moral integrity and a little here, And a little there, you're on your way to collapse and ruin. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday. And what will you do? I think this is the part that interests me, where my ears were perking up before the Lord yesterday. I asked that question, what then do we do? How then do I combat my laziness? And I was going to counter this with, you can be too lazy or you can be too busy. So you might have that problem with just being busy, 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 and it's just this, it's the flip side of the same coin. It is as dangerous. And I tend to be more of that side of the busy, 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 busy. What can you do to combat laziness or busyness and begin to restore your spiritual zeal and vibrancy? And what can you do to win? I hope you're not living your life, and if you have thorns and weeds growing, it's possible you're living to just get by. But what can you do to win? First thing to do, I think, is to acknowledge your responsibility. Acknowledge your responsibility and the condition of your proverbial garden. Your responsibility in it. No one else is responsible for the condition of your garden if there's weeds and thorns and crumbling walls. I know that it's our responsibility. I just happened to remember a verse in Song of Solomon. I ran across this one while I was looking up the other one. But in chapter 1, verse 6, here's what the young lady in Song of Solomon said regarding responsibility. She said, "My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. The vineyards I neglected." In other words, they called her to account. "They're your vineyards. You neglected them. Get to work." And she acknowledged it. The vineyards I neglected. There's stories and quotes in the scripture of people that say, "Why didn't I listen when I was counseled when I was young?" So first, acknowledge your responsibilities. First step in combating your spiritual laziness or busyness to restore your spiritual zeal and vibrancy. So repent and confess your neglect and failure to God. If you know of a little area, known only to you, that you have let slide, bring that into the light before the Lord. You want spiritual zeal to be restored and vibrancy in your Christian walk? You want to enjoy the gospel and the God of the gospel more than ever before? Bring it into the light. The second thing you do to restore spiritual zeal and vibrancy is, don't neglect the small things that are taking root. Boy, Jim sure is crusty. He sure does have a temper on him, doesn't he? He gets aggravated over the little things. Don't neglect those small things. Don't let them take root. And I didn't mean you, Jim. I meant me, Jim. You can be Jim 1, I'll be Jim 2. Jim 2. But things like festering old wounds and just continuing to let, just keep eating at that table of old hurts. You just are, it's like an incubator for bitterness. Don't let the little things take root, such as anger, resentment, holding grudges. Don't let those little things take root. Don't allow them. Attack the problems while they're small. When you have such a thought as, "I remember what they said to me," get it out of your mind. "Lord, I know this is wrong. This is not right for me to think that way." We all have plenty of reasons to hold resentment and grudges against people who have hurt us. We live in a fallen world, but Christians are called to a different life. Why? Who could hold a grudge against us and be right in doing so? God. And God has freely forgiven you and brought you into fellowship with Him. So to not eradicate and get rid of the things like this that take root, is disobedience. Listen to what Song of Solomon 2:15 says. This was the verse I was thinking of first, but it's stuck with me for a long time. When you think about, get rid of the little things while they're young, the little thorns, the little weeds, the little erosion in the wall, fix it then. Catch the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Christian, you are in bloom, and you may be young or old, but if you are in Christ, you're in bloom. Don't spoil the fruit. Catch the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, but they're so cute. They're just little. And I like the imagery of them being little foxes. What can they possibly do? They eat the blooms that keep the grapes from coming to fruition. Small things, if left alone, take note of this and be serious about it. Small things, if left alone, become big things. Little foxes grow up to be big foxes. And thirdly and finally, establish a strategy and a plan to build spiritual order and strength into your life. If you want to have spiritual vitality, I think you need to plan for it. Plan for a harvest. Establish a strategy and a plan to build spiritual order and strength into your life starting today. You've already proven you really do desire that. You came to worship this morning. You came to hear the Word of God. You came to sing. That's part of a plan. So that's just part of a plan. Make it a consistent plan daily. Take time to rest at the proper time. The psalmist says nothing against resting. It's just rest at the right time. Appropriate time to work. You have to have time to get your work done. Plan for it. Take care of your responsibilities. Very important. That's part of planning. You plan to take care of your responsibilities. Appropriate time for God. You may say, well, that should have been the very first thing. But for you, you might say, well, he's saying do it first thing in the morning. Some of you might be that way. Some of you might have your quiet time in the evening. I don't know what works best for you, but plan for it. Plan for success. Plan to win. Plan time to take care of your heart, to guard your heart. Make time for your key relationships. Appropriate time for God, appropriate time for your family and your friends, your church family. Consistency is necessity. You have to maintain consistency. I always think it's interesting when you want to be great at something and you practice it for a day or two or three, you really get into it, then you let it go for a month or two, you wonder, well, how come I'm no good at that? Watch me play basketball sometime. You can say, wow, if he just practiced a little bit, he might hit a shot once in a while. And that's true. But why can't I hit a shot once in a while? Because I'm not consistent. Somebody wants to be a good cook. You want to make nice desserts. You make terrible desserts and nobody enjoys them. You say, why don't they enjoy it? Because you're inconsistent. You want to have a gift to do anything. The reason there are great people at what they do, they may be talented, they may not. People said Larry Bird was really good. But one thing you'll never know if he was just great or was it because he consistently worked hard. Maybe a little bit of both. If you want to be good at something, you've got to be consistent. Y'all know that. But you have to be consistent in your spiritual walk. Why can't I have that faith that when everything's going against me, why can't I believe that God is at work? Because you've not been consistent in trusting Him in the small things. I just encourage you to learn to be consistent day in, day out. Plodder. Be a plodder. Somebody that plods along and trust in the Lord. That will be a life of vibrancy and zeal. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would minister to our hearts through this garden that we read about today. Teach us what it means to be consistent in caring for our heart. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.